Coming to you, hard to believe, isn't it, that this is the last day of 2023. Where has the year gone? Just speaking to some of our young people this morning, because I know for us oldies, time does fly by. And I asked them, tell me as a young person, how does time go for you? They said, fast. So I agree, time must be going fast. Isn't that right? But you know, there's still only 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in an hour, and 60 seconds in a minute. Isn't that right? 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in a minute. But here we are on the close of 2023. So my dear friends, as we stand here and we enter 2024, a world that is in a state of confusion, chaos, turmoil, and in the grip of evil and uncertainty. And you know that even we as believers can be sometimes tempted to despair. You see, we're not exempt from the trials of life. And sometimes as these crowd in upon us, we can also panic and wonder, how will we survive? Obstacles will come, they test our faith, and often leading us to doubt and fear. Now, that's where the people of Israel found themselves as Moses was leading them out of Egypt. If you haven't read the story, maybe you'll remember the movie, The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. They were escaping from Egypt with the whole Egyptian army after them in hot pursuit. Have you ever been in trouble, not of your own making, afraid, perhaps desperate? Have you perhaps felt that Satan is at your heels? Well, you could imagine perhaps how they felt. So I want to read the account in the scriptures, the word of God. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 18. Exodus 14, 10 to 18. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us up to the desert to die? What have we done to us? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward." Let us pray. Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. Open our eyes that we may see Jesus. Open our ears that we may hear Jesus. Open our hearts that we may receive Jesus. Now, I'm sure, like me, you have many times found yourself in that spot called between a rock and a hard place. Now, perhaps for me, the one time that I really felt like that was many, many years ago when I was a chaplain in the Rhodesian Armed Forces and I was shot in an ambush and a bullet came through me here. At that time, I was lying in the bush bleeding and I felt very, very afraid. Did not know whether those insurgents would come and finish us off. There were 8 of us on the vehicle, 3 of us were injured. And lying there, I was very, very scared. I was between a rock and a hard place, not knowing what to do, except, of course, to pray. And the Lord wonderfully rescued us from that situation. Now, in the context of this passage, the children of Israel had just experienced that wonderful deliverance from bondage in Egypt. They'd been released as being slaves, and after a series of astounding miracles, Pharaoh had been persuaded to let God's people go. However, as we know the story, they were hardly on their way when Pharaoh changed his mind and decided to pursue the Israelites to bring them back to Egypt. And the place where the Egyptians caught up with them was near the Red Sea. When the Israelites saw them, their hearts must have melted with fear, because now they completely hemmed in. In front of them, the Red Sea. At the side of them, the bitter lakes. And a mountain range behind them. And now the powerful army of the enemy pursuing them. And that situation seemed hopeless. They were terrified. They were desperate. And they cry out to God for help. And then they turn against Moses in faithless panic. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt?" they said. So Moses, being the leader he was, encourages them and tells them, contrary to the appearances, the situation is in fact entirely under God's control. God would be glorified in the deliverance of the hopeless and the helpless. You see, as Paul reminded us in Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? So God's response to them was both surprising and profound. He says to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward." Now that's a very powerful message. God's not telling them to stand still, to wait for him to rescue them, to wait for a miracle. He tells them to keep going forward and trust his promises as he has given them. And so onwards they went. And God, by his almighty power over nature, opens a passage for them through the Red Sea. In this miracle, as in others recorded us for us, especially in the Gospels, God uses a natural agent, a strong east wind, with a positively supernatural result, the dividing of the waters, as you can see in this picture. The dividing of the waters. God uses that east wind to separate the waters, and the people go on dry land. The Hebrew word for dry there is very significant. It means dry, as if there had been no water. God is in control of his creation. So they pass through into safety, whereas we know Pharaoh and his army were overwhelmed, so that none of them remained to even carry back the news. You see, God made the impossible possible, and he protected his children from a certain death by the hands of the Egyptians. Now I want to ask you a personal question. What rock and hard place is it that you may be in between today? But you know, the real question is this. What will your response be to the rock and hard place that you may be facing? Now, in these passages, there are three responses. So if you're taking notes with me this morning, the outline is the three responses in this passage. And the first is, let's go back, verses 10 to 12. It's easy, you see, for us to have fond memories of the past and long for those good old bad days, you know. Really, that's not an option for us. The past is the past. We can never bring it back. We can learn from it, but we can never have it again. That's where time goes and is obliterated. And you know, when things go wrong in our lives, there is sometimes a temptation to go backwards, back to our old habits, our sins, just to feel better. And if we do that, we just end up back where we started, trapped in the same failure. But you know, dear friends, God wants much more for us. The second response is, let's stand still. But you know, you cannot remain there for long, because either we grow or we decline in our spiritual life. And sometimes if we stand still, this is known as denial, when you don't face what is happening, like covering your eyes when something horrible is coming after you. But when you do that, you miss the chance for victory. Maybe some of you have been camped out against your Red Sea, whatever that may be. Maybe bitterness, maybe hurt feelings, maybe anger, depression. Maybe you are caught up in self-satisfaction, in your comfort zone where you don't want to move out, a zone of perhaps easiness or sometimes even laziness. Perhaps you caught between a rock and a hard place with some kind of addiction, maybe alcohol or drug abuse, pornography or something else. Do you know, now's the time to get help and go forward in God's strength and trust Him to break those chains that bind you. There are many organizations, and we are here also, here to help you if you're really willing and want to be helped. But you, like the Israelites, have got to step out in faith and go forward. You know, on the battlefield, if you don't keep moving, you're a sitting target for the enemy. It is the same in the Christian life. God wants us to lead us to a new place where we can have victory, but we cannot stand still. One of my mentors was a man who literally did run everywhere. He was a very fit man, but he ran everywhere. And somebody once asked him, "Bernard, why do you run?" And his answer was this: "I run because the infernal enemy of my soul finds it hard to hit a moving target." He was a very energetic man, but he knew you cannot stand still, and that we cannot do in life. You see, God is ready to take us on a journey, to take us to places we haven't been before. That's why the future is wisely hidden from us. We do not know what lies ahead, but God does. He'll take us to a place where we will hunger and thirst for Him like never before. He will lead us into a greater and new dimension of His grace and of His glory if we're willing to go forward with Him. But you know, the problem is, like the children of Israel, many want to remain stationary, to be fixed in their ways, don't like change. But God doesn't want us to remain there. He wants us to make progress as we enter 2024. He doesn't want us to be stubborn. He wants us to allow Him, through the power of His Holy Spirit, to move us forward. He wants to advance us so that we may experience His power. Because you see, if you stay at your Red Sea long enough, the enemy will destroy you. The third response is, let's go forward. Yes, there is a time to pray and reflect, but there always must be a time to act. And as believers in the triune God Almighty, the captain of our soul says one watchword for us: go forward. That's the voice of God to the people of Israel then, and that's the voice of God to us today. Let us not be like the children of Israel, standing there murmuring, complaining about the situation, whatever it may be. Things do not always go the way we want them to or plan them to be. But when we go forward with our eyes on the promised land, spending time with the Lord in His word and prayer, you see, we don't have time to stop and murmur and complain. It's a voice that does not promise an easy journey or a life free from challenges and difficulties. But it is a voice that promises deliverance and a future filled with hope and blessings. Going forward involves taking a risk to go ahead by faith, not by sight. See, faith always stretches us beyond where we are. If we can see every step of the way, it's not really faith, it's sight. Go forward was a call to action and trust. And it wasn't, as you read the account, until the Israelites stepped forward in faith that they saw God's deliverance. And dear friends, today, on the last day of 2023, we have to step out in faith to 2024, trusting that God will fulfill His promises to us. You see, God's promises are not passive. They require our active participation as well. C.S. Lewis, that great theologian from turning from atheism to Christianity, said this: relying on God has to begin all over every day as if nothing had yet been done. Can I say that again? Relying on God has to begin all over every day as if nothing had yet been done. In other words, every day is a new opportunity to trust in God's promises and to step out in faith and go forward. You see, go forward was a call to hope and perseverance. Now, sometimes we may find ourselves in desperate situations like the Israelites, but like them, we have hope, trusting God's promise of deliverance. And so we persevere, even when the journey is difficult and circumstances seem hopeless. You see, His promises are not just words. They are a source of courage in the face of fear. The Hebrew word for go forward in this verse is the word nasa, which means to journey on. It's a word that implies progress, movement, advancement. Because God does not call us to stand still in our faith and in the future, but to move forward, to journey deeper into His promises and will for our lives. Go forward, upward, heavenward. This should be our daily and hourly prayer. So, what are the practical implications for us today? Well, our desire daily and our prayer should be, as the Apostle Peter puts it, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in order to do this, we must, and if you're taking notes with me this morning, go forward in the increase of Christian graces. Go forward in the increase of Christian graces, especially those that the Apostle Paul said would remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, he said. So we should ask our Lord Jesus to help us portray these so that we develop the fruit of the Spirit each day. Faith. We must trust God no matter what happens in the future. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Proverbs 3 to 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. We to stand firm with the shield of faith, as Paul tells us, against the enemy of our souls. So the first thing to do when your back is against the wall and Satan is at your heels, do not panic. Perhaps you are struggling. Bad decisions or mistakes you have made in your life. Get on your knees. Ask for forgiveness and strength to stay the course. Trusting God means not relying on yourself. Don't look for the loopholes. Don't look for excuses. Don't blame others. Don't retreat to your old ways. Don't go backwards. Go forward. How do you then get rid of the fear of failure? By trusting God. Have faith in God. And faith is not so much the absence of fear as it is the moving ahead in spite of fear. And sometimes faith is actually doing the very thing we fear most. And so you can make a fresh start in God's strength. You can step out in faith and launch out into new territory. And it's by faith that we trust the Lord Jesus to help us get a fresh start in life. He will help you to put your life together again if you are willing to let Him. Go forward in faith. Then go forward in hope. That solid anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Now, in our terminology, the word hope has a iffy about it. I hope so. I sort of cross my fingers and hope it'll work out. But not so the biblical word hope. That is concrete, certain, sure, as God is Himself. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the Holy Spirit. Now maybe you are struggling with some health problem yourself. Maybe a member of your family. Maybe you watching a loved one with a terminal illness. Maybe you've been bereaved, the loss of a loved one. You're grieving in mourning. Maybe you have a difficult relationship. Maybe a breakup or a divorce. Maybe you're facing financial problems, unemployment, or whatever else it may be. One of the greatest challenges of life is staying hopeful and optimistic about the future. Adverse circumstances can cloud our view of the future and make it tough to remain hopeful. But He is the God of hope, and that is all the way. Charles Haddon Spurgeon put it like this: hope itself is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity, but discovered in the night of adversity. Can I say that again? Hope itself is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity, but to be discovered in the night of adversity. We face hardships, and it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to be overwhelmed by our circumstances. But our hope is grounded on the character of God Himself. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 42 verse 5, put your hope in God. Why? Because He's the God of hope. Thirdly, love. the greatest of all, the key ingredient and essential to our life. This is the agape love, the love that God has. God loved us, so we love Him. He first loved us. And a whole series of sermons could be preached on this subject, but we'll confine ourselves just to a few pointers. Firstly, love for the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Luke 10:27, verse A says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. Dear friends, as we come to the close of 2023, what an opportunity to rededicate and renew our love for a God, our Savior. And then in verse 27b says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, of course, that sums up the two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. Who's our neighbor? Well, fellow believers. Love those who belong to the kingdom. For by this shall all men know that we are Christ's disciples, by our love for one another. Love for the unsaved, the unlovely, maybe the unlovable. Love for our enemies. What a challenge for us as we enter a new year. To be filled with that Christ-like love and compassion for those who are lost, who are going to a Christless eternity, because Christ's love compels us to share the gospel with them. Yes, dear friends, go forward in love. Now, thirdly, if you're taking notes with me, go forward in exercising Christian disciplines. Go forward in the exercising Christian disciplines. The first of that must be the daily reading and study of God's word in the scriptures. If you've never done that before, start 1st of January 2024. There's lots of devotional books that will help you. Start reading God's word. Jesus, you remember, said in Matthew 4:4, it is written that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Oh, dear friends, make sure you're into the Word of God every day. This is our spiritual food. Psalm 119:105 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. How we need to spend time with the Lord every day in His Word. And then, of course, in secret and public prayer. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, pray continually. Jesus said, you must pray all the time. And dear friend, that's another discipline every day to make sure, yes, that you hear from God, from His word, and then you can talk to God in prayer. And may I say with all respect, if you are too busy to pray, then you're just too busy. Third thing, worship. John 4:24, God is spirit and His worshippers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means regular attendance of worship with God's people. That's important. A Christian is not on his own. You cannot be a recluse as a Christian. You need fellowship with other believers. That's why come to church. Yes, we know for some that's not possible, and praise God for modern technology which enables us to live stream. But only use that when you are not able to come to church. Come and be part of the fellowship here. That's so important. And then in serving others. You see, we are saved to serve. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Serve one another in love, says Paul. And again, dear friends, there are so many opportunities to volunteer and use your gifts in the church. Please let us know what you would like to do. Fill in on a form. I have this gift. Can you use me here? Yes, we need to go forward using these means of grace and discipline in 2024. But in this journey of life, we often find ourselves standing at the crossroads of doubts, uncertainties. We may be unsure of the path ahead. Our faith may waver and falter. But here we are reminded of the unwavering faithfulness of God, which is steadfast, unchanging, and true. When God promises, He fulfills. Dr. John Piper said this: God's faithfulness is 100% reliable 100% of the time. He does not fail, falter, change, or disappoint. He says what He means, and He means what He says. Therefore, He does everything as He has promised. That's a lovely thought. You see, when God makes a promise, it's a promise that's going to stand the test of time, a promise that will carry us through the trials of life and into glory in eternity. So, believer, child of the living God, born of the Spirit, keep moving forward in 2024, not in doubt or fear, but in the full assurance of His promises that will not and cannot fail. Because, as Paul reminds us, He is able to do immeasurably above more than we ask or even imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. So, dear friends, let us go forward into 24, trusting that God's faithfulness in the past is His guarantee of His faithfulness for us in the future. Look back over 2023. Maybe you started with all doubts and fears and wondered if you'd make it. Here you are today. Look back and see God's faithfulness in His protection, in His providence, in His provision. Do you think He's going to fail in 2024? Should He spare us, or should He tarry? That, as we look back and see His faithfulness to us then, gives us that assurance of His faithfulness to us in the future. Maybe I'm speaking to someone who is an unbeliever, who's never really considered this fact. Dear friend, if you're here today and maybe you're sitting on the fence, maybe you've never committed your life to Christ, the word to you cannot be, go forward. You cannot enter 2024 as you are. You are already on the wrong path, leading to destruction and despair for all eternity without Christ. The word to you today is stop in your tracks. Again, if I may quote C.S. Lewis, he put it so aptly. He said, "You cannot go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." You cannot go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Listen to what Isaiah 55 verse 6 says. Isaiah 55 verse 6. "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon." Listen to what Jesus said in John 14:6. John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Listen to what He says in Matthew 11:28-30. "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden light." You see that, as we've often been reminded from this pulpit, that's the difference between Christianity and every other religion. All other religions are saying, go, go, work, work. Jesus says with his arms outstretched, come, come to me. Well, what about you, sir? Madam, young person, has God been speaking to you today? Maybe you're at the end of your tether. Life seems to have no meaning, no purpose. You have discovered that there's no hope in science, philosophy, ideology, technology. And you may be standing at the Red Sea in your life, confused, disillusioned. All the voices you hear around you. On every hand, you just see instability, insecurity, crisis, chaos, confusion. May I say from the depths of my heart today, you need to stop juggling with yourself. Stop struggling to find meaning and peace in your life. You see, you do need to take that step forward in faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps for the first time, to save you from your sins, to give you a new life in Him. And the Lord is calling you, whatever obstacles may be in the way. You see, your eternal destiny depends on your relationship to Jesus Christ, who came as prophesied by Moses and all the prophets as the Savior of the world. And just a week ago, we were going to celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, coming into this world, the one who was born to die. Time divided by Him. He paid the penalty of your sin and mine when He died in your place and mine. He died there as your substitute, as mine, on that cross. And Jesus absorbed the wrath of God for our sin because He loves us so much. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, this is the free gift of God's grace and mercy. You cannot earn it. You cannot inherit it. You cannot buy it. You can only receive it by faith and repentance. And you know, it's as easy as ABC. A, admit you're a sinner before a holy God and that you cannot save yourself. B, believe that Jesus died in your place on the cross to forgive you your sin. And C, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, and He will. That is His promise, because He wants you to go forward with Him into 2024. You don't have to try and improve yourself. Just trust Him. I'm going to ask you, will you do that? Dear friend, if that is your desire today, come and speak to us after the service and let us know what we can do to help you find the Savior and enter 2024 as a new person. If you are a believer, then enter 2024 knowing that God is with you and He will never leave you or forsake you. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, with whom one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day, we praise you that you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We humbly worship you and thank you for your providence, protection and provision in the past, and who in your mercy and love has brought us to the beginning of a new year. Help us to meet this new year in the sure faith that although all may change around us, you are the unchanging one, the same yesterday, today and forever. Give us grace that in all things we may please you and glorify your holy name. We ask that this in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.